Next case is 99-405, Toledo Bar Association versus Michael E. McGill.
Good morning, sir.
Mr. McGill, wait till I call on you, please.
I take it you're here because you think that the recommended sanction is too stiff.
That's correct.
And the Toledo Bar files its brief and says it thinks that the recommended sanction is appropriate in light of the tremendous delay, I guess, and also that the bar makes the point that you, though you say in your brief that you cooperated and that no one was harmed. So ultimately, that this client wasn't ultimately harmed by the statute of limitations. That you say you cooperated. The bar says actually, it was pulling teeth the whole time to get discovery from you. That had to threaten sanctions. You seem to disagree with them that you were cooperative, and they say no.
Your Honor, I believe I was totally cooperative.
Mm-hmm.
There was no finding of lack of cooperation in this case. It was never alleged. It was never proven. It's not part of the recommendation of the state board. It's not part of the proposed discipline imposed in this case. I will explain to you that this is a very extensive file, and it was in the process of being turned over to the grievance new attorney at the same time the bar wanted it. And there was some lack of communication between myself and my attorney at the time with regard to producing it to the bar. When I became aware that it was at a critical level, the bar needed it immediately. I undertook immediate efforts to get it to Mr. Steinberg's office and drop it off. I believe the very next morning that I became aware that there was a problem. And the only reason I didn't drop it off that night is I wanted to be certain that I had copies myself.
It sounds to me like you said when you discerned it got to be to a critical level.
That's
is that the, that when they had to start threatening sanctions? I mean, that's what it sounds like.
Your Honor, all I can tell you is I got a panic phone call from my attorney late one afternoon saying that they need the file, they need it immediately. And
that was the first time it had been requested?
That's the first time it had been requested.
Ever. They didn't ever ask you for that file before?
They had not.
Okay.
And as I indicated, as soon as I became aware of the problem, I did not want failure to cooperate as part of this. And I believe I called Mr. Steinberg's office that very same night and left a message with him that I could not get it to him that night because I wanted to make certain everything was photocopied and that I spent until maybe 10:30 in the office that night making those photocopies. And in fact, at 8:30 the next morning, it was hand delivered to him.
Get your argument. Good.
Actually, I was not considering the argument. I was hoping that there would be more questions with regard to this matter so I can respond. And obviously, I mean, if I were the case, I would encourage questions on the issue raised.
If any justice has a question, they're always free to ask, and assuming there are none at this point, you'll have a chance to rebut, of course, and maybe some of that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Barone.
And please, the court, Chief Justice, Justice Escort, good morning, along with the Carol Steinberg, who's co-counsel of this case. I've been sitting here all morning, as moved as if we had our arguments. And it doesn't fall to the after, waiting on the court, not saying anything, but as Mr. Papillo has indicated, we do only wait for arguments. Please answer any questions that you might have. It had to do with loaning money or signing notes for clients that would permit them to obtain funds for other than litigation purposes. It involved he and another lawyer who I believe was at his partner, and I think it involved a sum of approximately $93,000, as I recall. And it also the client's complaint in this particular case, Mrs. Steinberg's
response.
Yes, that's I agree with it. Very characterized as proactive.
The excuse we give here is all the questions of law firms, possibly that. And I always find it difficult
to understand why one case is affected and they directly impact on the this complaint you received derived out of the period of time of the breakup of the problem.
I'll
answer that in two
questions.
Number one, the first time that we heard about the mitigating factor, including the breakup of the law firm, that caused the lawsuits among each other, and I think it also arrived. And first time we heard about the emotional problems and use of Prozac was at the time of the hearing before the members of the three-member panel.
You didn't have any doctor's reports in advance?
No, Justice, we did not. So I hate this word. With regard to other complaints, if I'm permitted to say so, there have been other complaints. One that's precedent before the board across three lines. I can't tell you specifically because I don't remember when it was moved into that, the same time period. Yeah, keep in mind, the time period in this case was 1986. First, it was engaged by the client for approximately 1997. Well, why is the man to me? One said that the delay is just time. But presumably, the client in 1998 received that sum of money that she probably should have received in
1986.
Not to my knowledge, not to our argument.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Steinberg, what do you think? Can you tell me?
I just wanted to make a comment on the question about the non-cooperation. I view non-cooperation actually having two components. First of all, there's the Rule 5 non-cooperation, which I think is the oldest comment. At least I thought he perceived it as a comment in that area. And commented upon in our brief was during the discovery proceedings of this grievance itself. And the board chairman, Mr. Altmaier, had pre-tried the case between both his final and the Lake First Council, perhaps 6 months, 7 months, 8 months prior to even scheduled hearing. And at that time, we had formally agreed that all parties would exchange certain documents. When those documents, which included Mr. McGill's file, were not given to us, and had repeated verbal requests of his counsel that extended over 3 or 4 months, we finally, because of lack of receiving these documents, finally threatened sanctions at that time. And that was the lack of cooperation that we were referring to. We were just trying to find out what Mr. McGill's file showed so we could proceed with our discovery and try to figure out the grievance itself and system. So that would include that area. Just wanted to make that clarification.
Thank you, Mr. Steinberg. Mr. McGill, you saved 10 minutes of your time.
Yes. That's not in the record because that was all taking place very recently. The lawsuit, the legal malpractice lawsuit, was very recently filed. It was just pre-tried approximately 1 month ago. It was set for trial in, I believe, December of this year.
You did not refer to lack of legal malpractice.
You mean the offer to prosecute? There were discussions before, however, because of impending statute of limitations that was perceived, I believe, by her counsel. The lawsuit had to be filed. And there have been discussions. There's no question that she's entitled to delay damages. I've testified to that. There's no question that there was neglect. There's no question that there was delay. I didn't do that, I suppose. It's just a question of computing what the appropriate measure of delay damages are. And I might add also that with regard to the loan that was mentioned previously, that has been forgiven. I do not intend to try to seek that back from the
court.
That is a done deal as far as I'm concerned.
How much was that?
I believe it was $700,000.
Thank you. Case is submitted. You'll be advised of our case. Michael, please come to court.